Brad, you know what happened this week?
What's that?
This is gonna be a little off brand.
Ooh, I love it. I'm intrigued.
Thank you.
Go
hon.
On.
Yeah, thanks. My wife just brought me delivered me a Egg McMuffin homemade.
Oh, you
suck. And a new cup of coffee. Mm. So there's gonna be a little bit of eating on the pod. I'll try to mute it, but you know.
Hey man, I'm just happy for you.
Mm.
Congrats.
So speaking of off brand, maybe my wife shouldn't hear this. I don't know if she'll be jealous or not.
Okay.
But a terrible thing happened, Brad. I might get in trouble on the internets here, but I.
Uh-oh. Watch yourself, counselor.
Yeah. I caught myself staring at a butt, Brad. But it wasn't a human butt. Wasn't an animal either, you weirdos. It's a weird thing, man. I caught myself objectifying an object.
I am so nervous that this is going to be our last episode of the Sucks podcast.
Brad, okay, this is no lie. I was in my car, and this Mercedes went by.
Okay.
And I did a double take of the backside of the Mercedes. And I sat there, I'm like, What just happened? Like, I was like blown away by the fact that I checked out the rear side of a Mercedes. Now, I say it's a Mercedes, Brad.
Yeah.
But I don't remember if that's actually true, you know, because I don't see brand, Brad. I don't see brand.
I think we need to get to a point in society where we have to admit that we do see brand and then just check ourselves on the biases that we bring.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
No, but seriously.
Okay. All right. So. You found yourself sexually attracted to
No. Don't get it confused. I saw myself doing a double take and looking at the backside of a car.
I say just own it. Just own it, man.
I don't know that
sex. This is the year 2022.
But I don't know that sex comes into play because, like, I obviously didn't find myself going, ooh, let me follow that. Let me, like, talk to that Mercedes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't go farther than, like, so I think this is kudos to whoever designed that car.
Okay.
Because they're obviously going for a form factor that hit a certain pieces in your brain that said, this is attractive. This is, you know, I don't know. It was kind of skinny in the middle. Got bigger on the bumper.
All right. Slow down there.
Okay, Brad.
The fact that you brought this up, you push back on you being sexually attracted to the rear.
Yeah. No, sexually attracted. It's weird.
However,
it's weird.
Brought it up.
I mean, I did bring it up because you know why, Brad? Because I'm an honest person. I'm an open book. And anything weird that happens to me, I want to share with you and a million other people.
All I'm saying is, Dave, is that sexuality is a spectrum.
Oh, dear God. Okay, Brad, I'm going to confess with my wife here. I've been seeing this Mercedes.
Oh, no.
For the past month.
You know, well, it is.
Oh, boy.
Know, that's going to cost you about $450 a month. You know, 0% APR. So
you're not adding the therapy onto that.
Welcome back to the Sucks Podcast. I'm your host, Brad.
And I am Dave.
Not with us today is producer Joe, who is on holiday. We're wishing you all the best, Joe. This is a podcast where we talk about design, intentional and otherwise, and all the ways that UX,
user experience design,
impact us all every day. We started this podcast as a way to talk about why things were made the way that they are, where those design decisions might have gone off the rails. Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Brad. You're freezing a little bit there on the video. I'm hoping that doesn't persist. We might have to go and not see each other, which would be sad because I like seeing your, well, you don't even have the hair today, Brad. You got a ball cap on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ruined the user experience for me.
I'm sorry.
You know, and Joe's not here, so I don't have to pin you. That's fun.
God. I'm going to let that one go. But seriously, I started thinking very, very seriously about like taking all of this down to like a number four.
Ooh.
Like clipping it all off.
Really? A number four? Wow.
Yeah, pretty
wow,
short, that's... right?
That is pretty short. I mean, I go to a number one on the side, so it's not short to me, but with that head of hair, that's pretty short, Brad. You should do it. It's going to grow back. You have a few more years before it doesn't.
My family has good, healthy hair in our bloodline, so I'm not too worried about that. But
well, don't get cocky, Brad. Don't get cocky.
Right. So anyway, we'll see. But let's jump into the news. Dave, what's the news?
Well, the news, Brad, is that I think that we're getting rid of the news. We didn't do the news last time, right?
We didn't do the news last time. You know, often when we have guests, we try to, like, you know, keep the episodes structured a little bit different so we have time to get into the meat of it. But even today, I think maybe we should consider killing it.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I'm thinking. I mean, we've been talking about this for a bit. It's like, I mean, we're not newscasters. And a lot of times what we call the news, and I, you know, I try to reel us back and get us to this place. But a lot of times what we call the news isn't the news. It's us opining about the news.
Right. Which, true.
I don't know. Do our users, maybe they should message us. Do you like that? And I got to trim it a lot, Brad. You particularly. True. You like to get on that soapbox.
I pontificate.
You are a pontificator, and I gotta trim it a lot.
Okay, so we're not going to talk about the news, and here's just some things that we're not going to talk about regarding the news this week. We're not going to talk about Google's I/O conference.
Oh, yeah, what happened
and
there,
all
Brad?
Things that they announced. Well, we're not going to talk about it, but if we were, we would probably talk about, you know, all the new Pixel devices that they announced. Their AR glasses, which, oh my God, I was so excited to see that. I really do think it looks incredible.
Hold on, Brad. Can I pause you here?
Sure.
Because I just got to do this.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about the news, thank God. But if we were, I would say that these glasses look like normal glasses. There's zero hint of tech that you can see with your naked eye.
Wow.
Which is awesome and where it needs to be. And this is my whole argument against Meta and their sort of Oculus conquest and their whole directional approach is like, no one is going to wear that shit regularly.
Right.
And even like for gaming and stuff like that, it's a gimmick, you know?
What we're seeing
is that people are using this stuff for 15 minutes and they're putting it in a closet. Maybe they'll use it for 15 minutes a month or something, you know?
Yeah, I have the VR stuff from Google and I love it. It's pretty cool.
You're talking about the Daydream stuff from a few years ago.
Yeah, but I've used it maybe like 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just because you got to slide your phone in there, which is number one, terrible idea. Who thought of that? Why not just use near field communication, Bluetooth, and communicate through it that way? I don't know.
Well, it's just, I mean, you paid $100 for that Daydream. If you wanted to have that tech in there, you're going to pay $400.
See, here we are, Brad. We're not talking about the news and we're opining on the news that we're not talking about. This is what I'm talking about.
Well, we're not talking about any of this. So, this
not
is
happening.
This is not happening.
What else did they announce? What else did they announce? Opiner, pontificator.
We're not going to talk about it, but they also announced a watch, right? They showed and announced the Pixel Watch, which is now a real thing that people will be able to buy in the coming weeks.
Okay, Brad, I'm going to stop you here.
Okay.
Because this is something I do want to opine on. Because you and I have our opinions about these watches, right?
Yes.
And I think there's been some confusion because I've asked you, and I don't think you understood my question until recently. And my question was, can I use this watch and tie it with my current cell phone account? Or do I have to get a new cell phone account or an addendum to my cell phone account? Mm-hmm. And it appears that it's the latter. Yeah.
Well, there's two ways of answering that question. The first, the most low-cost example is that you do not have to do that. You do not have to add anything to your cell phone account. And then that requires a reliance on your physical phone device to tether into the watch, right?
Pointless, then.
So you think that that's pointless?
Yeah.
Because
why? Because here's my use case. Mm-hmm. I only want this watch to get on my bike and ride or to run or to go to the gym, and I don't want my phone. Like, the phone is such baggage.
Right.
So the ability to have something like this, the communication device that is small and slim and doesn't really cause too much friction with what I'm doing out and about is huge. But why should I be penalized by the fact that I either have to have this phone, you know, on me, or I have to pay more?
It's either or. And I guess I agree with you, but the other scenario that you alluded to is that you buy the more expensive version of the watch, and that does have the cell phone connectivity, and that would probably require, not positive, but it would probably require an addendum to your plan.
Yes. No, I'm pretty sure that's the case.
I'm pretty sure too.
So wait, you're saying that the one that has cell capability, there's two types of watches, one that doesn't, one that does?
Correct.
So I have to pay more for the cell enabled one, and then I have to pay more to get data to it.
Right.
Brad, I'm gonna make a prediction.
Sure.
Okay. I know I'm gonna be right because I predicted. I'm old enough to remember when Ma Bell, did the phones.
Dude, you are ancient.
I am ancient. Okay.
I had no idea that you were 60. I thought you were in your 40s.
But hey, we're not far off, buddy. Jeez. So Ma Bell used to have the phones, and I remember my wife and I were dating, and she was just out of the quote unquote local range, which is covered 100% with your monthly payment, right?
No, I do remember this, yes.
Yeah. So we had to pay something per minute. And that equaled, and mind you, she was a mile out of this right. realm. Yeah. And that equaled bills that were ridiculous that my parents made me pay. For a kid that doesn't have any money, $150 a month extra out of your pocket. It's a lot
it's
of money.
Insane. It's a
and
lot
I said,
of money.
And I complained then. I said, this is bullshit. This needs to be a flat fee across the board. And what do we have now? With your home phone, if anybody has those anymore, with your cell phone, flat fee, all inclusive. I am going to call this device bifurcation of payment. What do you call bifurcation when it's more than two things, Brad? Is there a trifurcation? A quadfurcation? Yeah, I feel like there needs to be a word for that.
Is.
Yeah, okay. I feel like we need a universal split into many things. But anyway, this separation of devices from your plan is bullshit. Don't even get me going how your home and your cell should be one thing. That's a whole other level. I feel like there should be one internet payment a month, and then I could do whatever the bleep I want with it. That's me, though. But I predict that's going to happen.
But here's the thing from the UX perspective that I think that we should hone in on this watch. Scenario one that I outlined, if you have a reliance on your phone to tether the data into your watch, what problem is that solving? I would argue not much of one.
Right.
Right. So if you have to have both devices, if you have to have your phone to make the watch work properly, then why do you need the watch?
Right. Because, which is a worse UX experience, right? I mean, user experience. Because you're looking at this tiny little thing that doesn't have all the things you need on a phone, which is already a tiny version of your computer or TV screen, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the benefit?
I mean, the devil's advocate argument is that it's pretty cool that you could use your watch for mobile payments. Mm-hmm. You know, you just slide your wrist over the thing.
Oh, yeah, you maybe. Know?
That's cool. And I guess it's
I can
cool
do it
that
my phone.
You don't have to take out your phone to see a notification when one comes in. But, is that really enough to justify this?
No,
I don't think so.
You gotta untether it. That's the key to this.
Right.
Just like you said with the AR glasses, the key is making it something wearable, making it something that isn't like tech on your face, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
All right, we're pontificating too much.
Well,
here.
I'm just glad that we didn't cover the news today. So
I am too, because that's a whole bunch of editing I don't need to do, Brad.
Right.
It makes my life easier. It doesn't affect your life,
right.
But I'm glad we didn't do it.
For sure. I'm so glad that we didn't do it. And to our users, we will continue to not cover the news in this way.
Absolutely.
In the future.
Absolutely.
So
should we move on?
Go to a commercial.
Yes.
All right. Let's pay some bills. We'll go to a commercial and then we'll come back with our main topic. David.
Hey, Brad.
I want to ask you a question, and I hope it's not overly sensitive. Have you heard of mancrate.com?
Mancrate? I heard a little bit about this. This is where they send you a man in a box, right? You get a manny. Yeah, Brad? And it's great because I was thinking of signing up for this because I don't want a temptress in my house, Brad. I don't need one of those maids. I imagine they come in the movies, they're all sexy and stuff. I just want a man in the house to take care of things, take my kids to school. I'm down for this man crate.
So you're describing having a manny sent to you in a box.
Yes.
Which sounds a lot like human trafficking, which we are not proponents of on this show.
No, it's by will. I imagine he's comfortable in there. There's air conditioning and stuff. It's a big crate.
Okay. Well, I can't imagine. I've never heard
vegetables.
Of an air conditioner with crate.
But they send food and fruit to your house and it's cool.
Okay, so maybe there's some frozen gel packs in there with him.
Yeah. He's fine. There's some air holes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but that's not exactly what mancrate.com is.
That's not what it is, huh? Okay.
Mancrate.com.
Hey, sorry to interrupt our fake ad read. I'm not sure where that was going, but if you're a real sponsor and like what you hear and you want to contact our ad sales department, or if you're just downright lurky, visit ourpodsucks.com, ourpodsux.com to find out more. And by our ad sales department, I, of course, mean producer Joe. OurPodSucks.com. Now back to the fake ad read currently in progress.
Manly items?
That's right. Manly items. We're talking beef jerky. We're talking alcohol gifts. We're talking whiskey gifts. We're talking knives. We're talking like real manly, manly stuff.
Oh,
you know me.
Pricey.
I'm like such like an alpha male kind of energy where I like my football and all that stuff, right?
But it doesn't sound like men would be in to doing this.
Well, you would be surprised. Box. Okay. So I'm going to list exactly what's in there, you know, from the website, mancrates.com. Use the promo code SUCKS for 0% off. You have your stainless steel pizza peel. You do have 4 pizza grilling stones. I buy mine from homedepot.com, my pizza grilling stones, for $1 each. They will send you 4 of them.
Oh.
You get a pizza roller. Now, that is to flatten your crust.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get some flour.
Should you have these things?
All that can be yours for $109.
That can't be it, Brad. And the Manny. You're forgetting about the Manny. Here's the side thing that you're not thinking about, okay? Because you're not seeing the whole crate, Brad. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
what am I
missing? You gotta think outside the crate, Brad. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't have any more puns, Brad, but here's the thing. The best part about this man crate, man crate is for people who live in apartments. Right? They don't have space for a man cave.
Oh.
Right? They don't have that extra room. They don't have the garage. So they got the crate. Now, Brad, this is what I imagine. If you and I were back in the day when we had our apartments, I would put this crate against the wall. Right? Mm-hmm. And the TV wouldn't be in there. The beer, the bar wouldn't be in there. It'd be in the apartment. But you and I can huddle inside this crate, drink a couple beers.
I got it.
Yeah.
Mancrates.com is the perfect solution for anyone who wants random shit sent to them monthly for an exorbitant fee. And the onus is on you to return what you don't want, which is looking at this is going to be most of it. So if that sounds like a great proposition to you, please visit mancrates.com. Use the promo code SUCKS for 0% off. Sorry, somebody's at the door.
You can have the Manny go answer the door, Brad, and bring me a slice of pizza.
Mancrates.com, mancrates.com, mancrates.com.
And we're back. You like that, Brad? I've always wanted to do that. You always do it. I want to do it. I want to give it a shot.
You
How'd it sound?
You sounded great.
Yeah.
I'm a little threatened. I have a lot of emotions going on right now hearing you do that.
Yeah.
You did a really good job. And I'm going to work through it with some counseling.
I appreciate that. what are we talking about today, Brad?
Well, we are back. And we're back. I couldn't help it. Oh, but God, I couldn't help it. I'm so sorry.
Bastard.
I feel terrible.
You bastard.
With our main topic. And our main topic today is RTO. What does that mean?
Oh, Dave? I don't know. Give me an R.
Return.
Give me a T.
Twilight. Nope.
Return to work, Brad. Or office. Return to office.
Return to office. Timely.
Yeah.
Topical.
Yeah.
Something that we're all experiencing. Probably most of us who are listening to this are experiencing some version of what this means.
Yes, indeed.
And it's not uniform what that means, which that's part of what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. And you know what I love as an aside? This is I'm going off script here, Brad, is the acronyms. What is it about like corporate culture that they just love their acronyms? Do you feel acronym to death?
Oh, absolutely.
ATD, Brad.
ATD.
Acronym to death.
I could expand on that, but I'm not going to.
I wish you would.
We'll save it for off pod.
All right. So what are we talking about? Let's get into it.
All right. Well, I guess maybe a place to start is, should we talk about our own experiences?
But first I want to make a note, Brad, that people who have been working 5 days a week, my wife included, during not just post-COVID, but all of COVID, are laughing at us, right? It's like, oh, cry me a river, right? But let it be known that, okay, there are positions that you have to do at the site, at the office. There's no way around that, okay? So we're not going to talk about that. That's the thing. But there are some people that have been working 5 days a week, but maybe they don't have to. So we're here as advocates for you.
That's true.
Okay.
And a shout out to all those people who don't have the luxury of being able to have this conversation with us today or in a meaningful way. People like healthcare worker and we salute all those people who are in those positions. And thank you. Anyhow, but for the rest of us this is a different thing.
Yeah. And let's another thing that I want to touch on that will become a theme here. We'll talk about it a lot, so I won't get into it. But what's really laughable is the executive class, you know, and these are shots fired here, Brad, has been doing this hybrid shit forever, right?
Yeah.
So we'll get into that. But I mean, the idea that you know, oh, we want you back in the well, I'll save it. But and then finally, before we get into our anecdotal experiences, this being Mental Health Awareness Month, we should absolutely get into that somewhere in this discussion, because I think that's a huge piece of this.
I strongly agree. Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we can figure out how maybe we can thread that through the discussion, because a lot of this has bearing on mental health and how people's mental health has changed and how our needs, frankly, have changed. Like, I'm not talking just about COVID, but as a society, we've gone through a little bit of evolution here. And it's really, I think, impossible to imagine that we are unchanged from this experience. So
totally agree.
We have to bring that into this discussion somehow.
All right. Great. So our anecdotal experiences, do you want me to start?
I think that you should start, because I think mine is a little bit more loose than yours.
Okay. Okay.
We haven't really returned to work meaningfully yet.
Okay. Great. All right. So I have not much. I mean, maybe a handful of times. Yeah. At the office that I'm working in now, they are going back 3 days a week. Okay. And you know, two of those are like definite days you have to return, and the third kind of being you can pick the day. And the reason behind that is you know, spacing, like the offices. So one of the things we're doing is this hoteling or agile seating, as some folks are calling it.
I've heard this terminology quite a bit over the past couple of months. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah. So hoteling or agile seating is basically you don't have a desk anymore, right? So that place that you keep all your crap and you say you're going to clean up and you never do, you know, you got your family pictures and all that stuff and your food from yesterday, gone. So, you know, RIP that, because I do love my space. You do love your nook, you know, it's comfortable to come to. So that's gone. Okay. So what they're doing is now is like you go on an app or a website and you look at the places that are available. This thing is clunky, ours at least. I don't know if this is internally created or if this is a company that makes it that provides this service, but it's really I think they're still figuring it out, because I've heard, I'm not the only one who complains, that lots of people complain about the reservation feature.
So I went to the movies yesterday, and you know going through that experience, it's I imagine it's similar to what you're describing. You know, I'm seeing a floor print, a floor plan of the movie theater, and I can see what's available and what's not, and then I'm selecting a seat. Is that what
you'd imagine? You'd imagine, but that's not how it is. Like, there's like a drop down window with like, you got to go into your neighborhood, I think it's called, like different.
Okay, that's disgusting.
Different teams or different neighborhoods. So you can do that view.
Neighborhoods.
And then there's a view of like the floor plan view, which is more of what you're talking about. Okay. But it's more like a picture and then like a space, and you can kind of do it. I don't know. It's just, it seems like the nascent version of the movie ticket experience, like or concert ticket experience. Like, it's there, it's the idea is there, but it's still not, you know, it's not ready for launch.
Right? Okay. But so you're beta testing this.
apparently. Okay. So that's just one thing. I have a couple things. So let's move along.
Absolutely.
We have this thing called the Castle app, and that's basically, it's a touch-free, you know, hands-free way of moving about the office. So, well, not entirely, because you got to open the door. So I don't know what I'm talking about here.
Hands,
so
basically, moving around the office. Okay.
But that's not true now that I think about it, because you use the app and there's like, it basically doubles as like your badge, you know, and you just hold it up to the door then opens. So maybe it's more of a security thing. Okay. And maybe it's more of a tracking thing to see when you're coming into the office. I don't know. I don't fully understand it, but it does have this feature where you have to do like a COVID thing and say that you're not sick.
I was going to bring this up. So that's pretty cool. And I think that makes sense in principle, right? Because that methodology that you're describing would allow for contact tracing.
Right.
So if you go into the office and you were diagnosed with COVID 2 days later, then this Castle app would be able to track your movements.
That's exactly it.
Who you were in proximity to, right?
Yes.
So is that how it's actually used? Or is that the
idea? I don't know if it goes as far as to like track you to... I'd imagine it would. Why wouldn't it? It's kind of creepy, but like, oh, I had COVID, and then this other person with the Castle app on, because you have to have location on always,
yes,
for it to work. Mm-hmm. And it annoyingly reminds you, like when you're at home and not at the office, hey, you turned this off. Can you turn it back on, or it's not going to work? I'm like, yeah, I get it. I'm not there. So shush, right? I imagine it would, but I can't speak to it. I mean, you could Google castle with castle a K, and see if that's the fact. But okay. At the very least, it does it on a floor basis, right?
By the way, I just have to add in here, Dave, that sounds great in principle, but we can also imagine some malicious outcomes from having this, you know, like, you know, okay. outside of the context of the pandemic, you know, comfortable are people with your work tracking your movements?
Exactly.
I can imagine a scenario at some of these terrible companies. Hey, I noticed on the Castle app that you spent 25 minutes in the restroom today.
Yeah. Hey, man, those hot wings are killing me. I got to say to that. Right. Moving on. No, it's a great point. And it's one of these things that you wonder when the pandemic is fully over,
right,
that we retire something like this. That's what I would think. Sorry, Castle app, for the drop in your shares when that occurs. But I just don't see. Yeah, exactly. I feel like that needs to go eventually.
And can you really roll back some of this stuff? And I would argue probably
you can't. I mean, you can on a personal level. Like, you can shut the Castle app off. So there's that.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple other things that I like. Since you went to the bathroom, let's move to the bathroom.
Okay.
The bathroom has these doors, which I've always said, like early on in the pandemic, I'm like, why don't we just put a little hook on the door and I could open it with my foot, right? Which I don't care about because it has a shoe that's touching everything all the time. Right. And we have that. And it's great. It kind of works. I still kind of default to actually pushing the door and using the handle sometimes, which makes me think from UX experience, like if you want people to use that, just take off the handle entirely.
Yeah,
you know, but I guess maybe that's a problem if you're like in a wheelchair or
Accessibility. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, so maybe you have to keep them.
So when you're touching those, you know, doorknobs and you're pushing the door, are you taking my advice from, I think it was a couple episodes ago where I went off on how men are going to the bathroom all wrong. You have to wash your hands before and after. Before is arguably more important.
right. Because you're touching your Netherlands. Yeah. While we're in the bathroom, let's get to this next thing. I love this thing. And it's probably just very anecdotal to my experience.
Okay.
But we used to have mouthwash, right? And it used to be a bottle and we used to have cups. So obviously they're trying to get you to do less touching. Yeah. In the bathroom.
Okay.
This is going well.
This is going great.
We have this machine and kudos. I wanted to get the product name, but I couldn't find it on there because kudos to this company. They have this metal box and it says mouthwash or whatever. It took me a second. I was going to complain about it because I had no idea where the cups were. Right. And I'm like, oh, there's a button. I don't want to press that button. And then mouthwash comes pouring out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for like two times at the office, I just skipped the mouthwash entirely because I thought, oh, they just haven't brought the cups back. Mm-hmm. But then somebody told me how it works. You press the button, the cup drops, right? Kind of like one of those coffee vending machines, you know, at the car dealership. The cup drops and then mouthwash fills it up perfectly to where it's supposed to be. And then you take it. Brad, I love it. I go back and forth to the bathroom several times a day. I have the freshest breath in the entire office because I love that machine. It's so cool.
We're about 30 miles from each other right now. And I can get that sort of effervescent, minty freshness from your breath, even over Zoom.
Yeah.
So
kudos. I have no idea what that has to do with. Yeah, I have no idea what this is due to the episode, but it's
Does that have anything to do with return to office, though?
It does, because it's a new thing that happened. This is one thing they implemented, okay?
Okay. That's interesting that is, I mean, I'm all for it, but that's where they're choosing to spend their time and resources and money.
I appreciate it. Well, think about it. They had mouthwash previously. People are going to expect mouthwash. They need a solution for you opening the lid of that thing, pouring it in, touching all the cups that are piled up on that. You know what I mean?
I get it. I'm fascinated by this. I'm fascinated, I guess, by your workplace in general that they're prioritizing mouthwash. So
I wouldn't say they're prioritizing, before. Brad. I mean,
it was there before. It's just, you said it's important to employees, so they
could have just gotten rid of it.
Solution.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I'm a big fan of mouthwash. I mean, I use it.
But think about it. We have people who deal with clients, right? So it is kind of important, right? Let's say you're going to go for a sales meeting or whatever, and you're breathing on somebody with nasty, nasty breath. That's a bad thing. Oh, so I get it.
Fair enough. Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's keep moving.
Yes,
food everywhere, Brad.
Food everywhere. Yeah. Food's a big one.
It just seems like they know a way to a man's heart. You know, that old cliche and woman's food, free meals. So they've got these machines, these vending machines. Or they're just kind of like cooler doors. And then there's like little goodies and they're fun stuff like lemon flavored cashews and pineapple jerky, which is really good, by the way.
I bet that's good.
And fruit like watermelon. And it's
Wait,
good
can
stuff.
We go back to the pineapple jerky? Is there like some spice on there? I feel like there needs to be
here's the thing. If you look at it, it looks disgusting, right? Uh-huh. Don't look at it. But it's half a pineapple squished into like a jerky size strip. And right. It's magical, Brad. It's magical.
It sounds so good. Really good. It just needs a little spice, in my opinion, but that's great.
I'm going to bring – no, you probably could do it. There could be the different flavors. I'm sure there are, but we only have the regular.
Okay.
So I'll bring you some.
Please.
So they got these things, but then they also have a system where you can order food the night before, right? And for our listeners, I should say, I work at a big corporation in a major metropolis. So if you all are like, none of this resonates, I don't get anything. We have a drip coffee machine. Yeah. I've been there. I understand my life's always not going to be like this. It's a little cushy. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to like make that statement. Okay.
Understood. Yeah.
So you can order these foods. You have to do it. And I say that as a preface to what I'm about to say.
Okay.
This is very privileged to complain. Is you have to order the food before 5 o'clock. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm working until 5 o'clock and I always forget to order the food for the next day. Okay. And then I don't have any food. Although I recently found out there are different vendors, and one of them you can order up till the next morning. And also you can order like days in advance. So that was on me. User error.
So I have questions about this. Is this another app that you're using to do this?
Or? It's a website. Yeah, it's a website. I'm sure they have an app, but yeah. So that's a problem too. There are lots of apps, lots of websites.
That's
right?
What I was kind of driving to. I mean, that's a lot of different solutions for this return to office.
Right.
We should get into super apps as its own episode. Anyway, I have questions.
Yes.
So at your workplace, is it like a revolving selection of restaurants, or mm-hmm. is this like a sort of like a cafeteria type service, or is it from restaurants?
Well, this is the thing. Yes, it's a revolving set of restaurants, and the food comes prepared and packaged. And what they're trying to get away from is we used to have Friday lunches. So I'm guessing they reallocated their budget to this situation, knowing that not everybody's going to use it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that equals out. Hopefully it does. Hopefully they're saving money on it. But it's a perk that I appreciate, and it does help me get back to the office. And what we're finding in our research, and this is running pretty long for my anecdotal experience, but
okay.
But we're finding that food is a big driver of getting people back.
It's a huge one.
It is a cost.
It's
a
absolutely.
Time cost and a financial cost.
Yeah. We're talking about this off camera for a minute, but the food is really important. And I've heard this, you know, from the people within my workplace as well. And like, what a driver and a motivator that is to get people into the office. And I got to tell you, just like, you know, look, off the record, let's pause the recording here. Don't use any of this.
Yeah.
This is just between you and me. Okay. I'm not sure that math quite works, you know, like, so you're going to spend your money and your gas money and your time to drive into the office for, you know, $15 worth of free food. Like, does that math quite add up?
Probably not, Brad.
Anyway, I'm glad that we didn't use any of that. So
All right.
Food is a huge motivator. Food. Love, you know, breaking bread with people and, you know, eating together. I think that, well, you know how I feel about food. It's incredibly important to me. And I think that's
you're a foodie.
Great social and community tool to bring people together. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to move on from food, if that's okay.
Okay.
I don't want to break your heart, but I want to move on.
All right.
Let's go. Let's talk about Zoom meetings and Teams meetings and how the hybrid experience of this has changed. Okay.
Yeah.
Our very first Teams/Zoom, it doesn't matter which one it was, experience with our whole staff.
Okay.
Right. Our whole team. Some people were home, some people were in the office. It was weird because we had this big desk and everybody was facing each other. And then all the Zoom people were like, what about us? Right. And they had to keep turning awkwardly to it. Enter, Brad. Mm-hmm. Has that been your experience?
Oh, yeah. I have my own thing. I'll go on my own experience with that.
So the solution technology, as we love on this show, enter the Owl Cam. Do you know what the Owl Cam is, Brad?
I do know what the Owl Cam is, but for our users and listeners, why don't you describe it?
Okay. The Owl Cam, and Brad only knows about it because I told him about it before this episode.
That's right.
the Owl Cam, basically, it does this thing. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's like this tall speaker looking thing.
Flower vase size.
Yeah, it's like a vase. Yeah, it's like a vase. And it just has this rotating camera in it. And it's, I guess it's done by, you know, AI, but basically when one person starts talking, it'll turn to that person, zoom in on, frame them appropriately.
Yeah.
And then present them on the screen. So the idea is you put these, I don't know if you have one or two or three, I haven't really paid that much attention. And it basically you place them. And that way you don't have that awkward experience of the person talking, having to turn and all this stuff. And I got to say, at first, the first day we did it was really awkward because somebody would like bust out their water bottle to take a drink. And all of a sudden it would zoom in really close to their face. And they're like, what is happening? This is terrible. But I guess whoever was, you know, setting that up, tweaked a couple settings, and now it's seamless. You get like three people who are kind of always on camera. And I guess those are the ones that are, and then you get the ones that talked last. Yep. Or talk the most. I don't know how it works. And then there's and
that would definitely be me.
Right. And then when you're talking, Brad, it would kind of put a little yellow box around you like Zoom does. Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom, you get the whole room so you could see that. And then you get all your Zoom people who are remote. I got to say, it's worked phenomenally and it feels really natural. And I'm sure stuff like this will improve.
Okay. So the technology that you're describing is not new. I recall we used to use blue jeans at a major company
that I worked at.
And you know what blue jeans is? For anyone who doesn't know, it's not that dissimilar from what you're describing, Dave, other than that it's proprietary. So blue jeans required at that time, and hopefully they've iterated on this, otherwise they're not going to be in business for too much longer. But it required a sort of a dedicated camera system and a dedicated communication blue jeans as a tool. What you're describing, what is interesting is that it interfaces with Zoom, correct?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Okay. I imagine because that's what we were on. I've been on both sides of this. I've been on the Zoom meeting and experienced it. And I've been in the office and experienced it.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have, I think that we have a ways to go on how to make these hybrid meetings really seamless. It sounds this is a good step. And is it, you said it's working for you. Does it work
at
home?
It works. I've been on both sides of this, and it has felt as natural as Zoom meetings feel. Like we didn't have that first time when it was weird without the owl cam. That was disturbing. Well, disturbing is kind of a harsh word, but it was awkward.
Okay.
But this seamless.
Okay. Well, I have an anecdotal story about this as well, but, if it's okay, I'll give you like my sort of background and where we are with return to office, where I am.
Yeah, let's do it.
My team.
I'm done. I pretty much have all, I might have missed some things, but I'm pretty much done with the things that resonate most.
Yeah. So first off, I work for a really great company and we have a really strong CEO who made it really clear that we will never have a mandatory return to work, period. Mm.
Oh, wow.
So we are going to figure out a solution that does not require a mandatory X amount of days in the office or anything like that. And a big reason for that is like, well, myself, you know, I've built a pretty big team over the past couple of years and, you know, most of them are not in Los Angeles.
So, oh, wow. Okay.
You know, I've hired people in Hawaii and Washington and New York and Washington, D.C.
That's a long commute,
all over
Brad.
The country, right? So it's not never really going to be an option for me to have a dedicated team mandated in the office 3 days, 4 days, whatever, a week.
Right.
So anyway, and that's fine. We've been super effective, as I mentioned on this pod before, you know, like not being in an office has only increased our productivity, like almost to a fault.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree. Yeah.
Right. So a big question that, you know, when we're going to get into like some of these organizations that are mandating returns to work, I just have this big question of why.
Yeah,
I think we should keep coming back to that. Of course, that's a design principle. You have to answer the why. So why these companies are mandating 3 days or 5 days in the office, I'm not really clear on.
I have a theory.
Vague, non-tangibles, like culture.
I have a theory. Yeah.
What's your theory?
Well, I think culture is the thing they think is the reason, or they've either rationalized or sold themselves on to sell us on it.
Yeah.
And we talk about culture later, but I think it's control. Yeah. I think it's that age-old principle of control.
Yeah.
And I think you have a lot of older folks, and I say that as an old folk, who aren't as hip on this technology and haven't acclimated to a new version of control. You could control people even more when they work from home. I don't want to say that out loud, although I just did. But like, you know this, Brad. Like, you can go through – I mean, IT can go through everything you're doing to the clicks, to like whether you're paying attention on a meeting, to how off when you log in and when you log out. I think you have more control over people here. So I think
it's with that, if I may, like number one, if that's how you're managing people, then you've done something wrong as a manager, or you have the wrong people that you have to do.
Right. And I don't think it's I think it's more fear-based.
Yes.
I think it's fear of losing control more than it is the obsession with controlling people. I feel it's like our team will be less effective our stock will go down, our revenue will go down because people are at home sleeping on their couches and playing video games. You know what I mean?
I think that these people have a pretty low opinion of their staff in these scenarios. If that's what they're worried about, if they're so worried that their staff is going to be ineffectual and that they're going to be like lazy and falling asleep on the job, that's something fundamentally wrong that has nothing to do with return to office, in my opinion.
Yeah. And let's talk about the office. Like everybody slacks off at work. Like, I mean, there's been studies on this about how much is actual work time. And this has always been an argument for a shorter work day because a lot of your stuff is filler. How many times do you refill coffee? I mean, on this pod, you refilled it four times already, Brad. You know, how many times do you just kind of like get on your phone while you're at your desk and you know, reply to emails or just goof around? People do it all the time. I mean, you know, it's kind of a weird thing, but I think the culture thing, I think people do believe in culture. I know managers who talk about it and I really do think they do believe it. I think they think there's something meaningful that comes from being in person. And I agree. I'm not one of these. I have coworkers who are like 100% for remote work. I don't, I'm a sociable, we're all social beings, I'm a social butterfly. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot comes from being in person, talking to each other that doesn't happen on Zoom. There are people that I haven't seen that I work with. I see them in the office now often, and it's great. It's great. And I think it makes a richer work experience or cooperation.
I think so too. I think so too. Yeah. And I think that, you know, when I said that there's no mandated return to work, that doesn't mean that we're not going to be in the office. We are. But it's going to be for the reasons that you describe and making sure that we're answering that why definitively. And that there is something to the culture there. And I'm a big proponent of culture, but I don't think the answer to culture is being in the office.
Right. Always.
Or even like I said, like there are other ways to build culture, and that's like to build trust and make sure people feel catered to and you know, building those connections. And there's other ways of giving people free food, by the way.
Right. There's a great tweet out there where it says, company wants us to return to culture. And then there's a picture of an empty, darkened room cubicle. It's like the culture.
Exactly.
So
my personal experiences with return to work, I've been in the office probably about a dozen times, 12 to 20 times, you know, just to keep it honest, since the pandemic.
So you've been back.
The past 2.5 years. Yeah. So I've been a handful of times. Most of the time, it's been me and like four other people in this giant office space. I was in there like last Friday, 2 days ago as we record this, and that felt great, you know, because there were, I'd say maybe 20 people in there. It's a space for 200, but 20 felt like a substantial amount of people in there.
Yeah.
It was great. I got to have some in-person meetings. We had a client in and we sat down in a conference room, and that's what I want to bring up is the hybrid meeting type, the hybrid meeting situation in cases like that. We haven't figured that out yet. What happened is that, you know, we were using Zoom for the people who were Zooming in, and most of us were in the office, and it was a whiteboarding session. So we're going to get into some of the technology and the tools.
Whiteboards. Yeah.
But we use a legitimate IRL whiteboard, you know, and the dry erase markers and all that. That was incredibly difficult and probably a waste of time for the people who were Zooming in. What we did was we used one person's camera on their laptop to point at the whiteboard so the participants could see it.
Oh, you used a physical whiteboard?
That's what I'm saying. We used a physical whiteboard.
Oh, they have apps for that, Brad. They got to have used this over COVID.
Of course, they have great apps for this. The one that I like is called Miro. And it is a great collaboration tool. Mm-hmm. And I use it for whiteboarding and brainstorming. So
why didn't you use it that day?
Well, because most of us were in the office. We have these big whiteboards and
but some weren't.
That was natural and organic, right?
Oh, well, some of those connect to like a Miro. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure that there's a solution.
But you don't have that.
But I don't have that.
Because we had that.
I don't know what.
We've had that for years.
A smart board kind of scenario.
Yeah. Smart board. We've had that for years. Yeah. So you just got to buy one of those, Brad.
Okay. We'll do.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, that was a bit of a pain point, but I got to tell you, it was positive and fun to I don't know if that's the right word, but to be in a physical space and actually to pick up a pen and write on a board was was rewarding. You know, I kind of had missed that. Anyway, yeah. So for technology solutions, you're right. Miro is a great tool that people should look into. And yeah. I guess the thing that I haven't figured out yet is how to integrate that into IRL.
Right. Well, Smartboard is it. All right. We're on technology. Do you want to keep plugging along here? Because there are technological changes. And, you know, we talked about Google I.O. I'm going to go to that first, even though it's kind of last on our list, just to get this out of the way. Because it's not that exciting. We'll get to the sexier stuff next. Okay. But they announced changes to Google Workspace, right? Things like, you know, Zoom, I think, already has this automatic transcription of meetings. But the cool thing is it'll take it from Google Meet and automatically put it into a Google Docs.
I do like that. That's a good idea. Yeah. It's not going to be enough to get us to use Google Meet, though.
Right. Understood. Maybe they improve Google Meet. Don't know. Spaces summary. So this is like, you know, we use Teams. I don't use Spaces. So maybe you can tell me what that's like.
Teams is worse, but go on.
Oh, I like Teams, though. Anyway, but Spaces, I guess the idea is you're doing a chat, and then like if you missed a bunch of it, it'll give you a summary of like the salient points, right? But I don't know, with AI, like, are they going to get, you know, like what if people are talking about their lunch for a few minutes? All of a sudden you get like a lunch summary, like, you know, and then you miss all the work stuff.
It also sounds like it could be dangerous. I'll give you a scenario, right? I'll give you a scenario where you and I are chatting before a guest comes on. You know what I mean? Like, you can imagine how that would work in a workplace scenario.
Well, we'd have to have a separate space, bro.
Somebody's going to get in trouble with this. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Indeed. Put on your Spaces summaries filter now. Yeah. And then I think to your point about not getting you to use Google Meet, they want to do kind of like look and sound improvements for Google Meet. So that's the Google, that's their tech improvements.
Oh, I've got a funny story about Google Meet too. So I do use Google Meet, but we mostly use Zoom. So I use both.
Okay.
I look 5 years older when I use Google Meet than I do with Zoom because of Zoom's automatic filtering capability.
Oh my God. Well, you look 5 years older with Zoom?
I look 5 years older on Google Meet.
Oh, yes. So, Zoom is great at making you look good, right? I don't know what they do, but everyone needs to do that. Like, I have the same thing with Google on Teams. I get on Teams, I'm like, oh God, this is how I really look. I don't like this.
Same. That's how I feel when I use Google Meet. Like, okay, this is what I look like. I look like I'm 50. I'm not 50 for a user. It's not close.
Yeah. imagine all the people who met on Zoom over this work break, over the, you know, and they started dating, maybe, right? And now they go to the office and they see each other. Ah, you know, it's like when the lights go on, you know, final call for alcohol, and then it's like, boom, lights are up. Like, no.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's keep this moving. Okay. Slack Huddle. Okay. Yeah. Do you know what Huddle is, Brad?
I do. Yeah. I've used it only accidentally.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Okay, so Huddle is something that you can basically open up a channel in Slack that's just kind of open for people to like in real time drop in chat. It's just I really don't have a great answer for why that's different than just having a dedicated
chat window group open. Yeah, I think Slack. The idea is you could see what like when people I think doesn't have like when you can leave the room and come in and like basically it's on all the time. So it's like you're actually working with these people. And I would think if you're like a developer or something or a tech person, like that kind of could be cool. I've never been a Slack person, but
I use Slack every day, all day.
It's caught on with smaller teams, the Slack CEO said. You know, like 5 to 8 people, and online sales teams for like e-commerce. Like so it definitely has its function. I don't think it's like, you know, it matters to people like you and me and the larger population. So I don't want to spend too much time here.
Yeah.
Sorry, Huddle.
I like Slack for what it's worth. It's good for some things. It's not great for tracking. You know, I think a lot of this is off on a tangent, but people kind of expect Slack to also work as a project management tool sometimes. It's definitely not good for that.
Yeah. I mean, we should do a whole episode on project management. Tools.
Yeah, we should.
Because we tried Monday.com coming up to a big event that we're having.
Yeah.
And I feel like it fell off by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And then Teams can also do some project management, you know, a little bit less, but you have your teams and channels. And that fell off the wayside, and people just go to email. They're just emailing like crazy.
I know. I mean, look, man, so, I could go on a soapbox on this because it's something that's very important to me.
Put it on the list.
I'll put it on the list. And the last thing I'll say, just to tee up like what might be a future conversation, is the problem with all this is that it requires 100% adoption from all people.
Absolutely. And that means you got to get rid of the other one.
And I'm a pessimist here. I don't think that will ever happen.
Because you have to rip off the Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. So get rid of email. Done.
That might be the solution, is to literally not have email.
Not have email. Seriously. Yeah. Anyway, we're off topic here.
Okay, let's go.
This is a little bit specific to like what I do. Mm-hmm. Adobe acquired Frame.io during the pandemic, which I think is phenomenal for for all you video editors out there. It's making life easier. So, editing video over, there are certain things you just can't do in this remote situation. And finding solutions to make that impossible possible, I think is phenomenal. And something like Frame.io, integrated with Premiere and Adobe After Effects, huge. Because I guess they're using proxies, uploading it to the cloud, and then syncing with your computer. So you can sit here and a proxy being a smaller version, a lower res version of the huge project that you're editing. And then when you bring it all together, then whoever has it locally then just kind of outputs that. I think it's great. And I can't wait to
see. It's really great. I use it, Dave. And I didn't tell you that, but we use this here because my team produces videos.
Nice.
And we use frame.io to do that kind of collaboration. Because, as you alluded to, what you can do is like in the timeline, you can put direct notes. Like it's kind of like low hanging fruit stuff. It's not like totally revolutionary or anything, but it is helpful. And it just works too.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all I have on the tech, Brad. There's not a lot. We were looking for this, and it's like every time I did a search for like RTO tech, it kept bringing me to articles and you to articles about the more general discussion, which is what we're about to jump into.
Right.
So I guess our research led us to the meat of our topic here. There's a lot of articles out there about what big companies are doing because they kind of lead the pack.
Yep.
And the smaller companies kind of like sniff around, see what they're doing. And a lot of this has to do about the main topic here is what we're going to talk about is there's a disconnect between the executive class and the employees, right? And the poor managers are stuck in the middle here.
Yeah, strongly agree.
Yeah. So Apple, for example, let's start with Apple. Let's start with the most extreme. Okay. Goldman Sachs.
Your old company.
Yeah, I've worked there.
Am I allowed to say that?
You can. Yeah, it's fine. It's on my resume. It's on LinkedIn.
Great.
So David Solomon, head of Goldman Sachs, says that the attendance there is hovering between 50 and 60%.
Yeah.
Now, there's a little aside here that the article doesn't jump on that like I'm about to.
Yeah.
But it says prior to COVID, this was 80%, right? So Goldman is pushing hard to get everybody back 5 days a week. Okay. They've done things like hiked its meal allowance up to $30 from $25. Wow. But it scrapped other perks in the meantime, such as free car rides to the office and breakfast and lunch. But anyway, my point here is they want everybody, they want to have 100% 5 days a week, noting that before COVID, 80% was the number. So tell me, Brad, who do you think that 20% was that was doing hybrid?
I'm going to guess it's people like David Solomon.
Wow.
Goldman, the executive suite. Is that where you're going?
I was going to the executive suite, Brad. Yeah. And this is the fact. I mean, this is anecdotally from my experience. This has been the case too. I remember 10 years ago, 15 years ago, even we've had this ability. The internet's been around for so long. We've had the ability to work from home for so long, and it's always been a thing. My company thankfully has allowed it when needed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to work from home, but it was still not like you had to ask, right?
So Dave, I had the privilege of going to a conference and hearing David Solomon speak about this back in late February.
Ooh. Oh, that's so, right.
I was at this Pivot conference in Miami. David Solomon was a guest, and he talked about return to office. And first off, before I rip into this and rip into David, he's a great CEO. It's a great and successful company, and that's not in debate here. However, hearing him speak about this, he really was going on about how the workplace wanted this. And I believe that is folly and inaccurate.
It's absolutely
for sure. I'm sure the people that he's talking to every day, also in the C-suite, are pushing for this for reasons. And again, going into that why, we should take that down. But another thing that he said was, I found this in retrospect pretty troubling and belittling to his workplace staff. Mm-hmm. What he said is there are some people who will not have to return to the office. What he said is that there are some people whose jobs are he kind of referred to them as like, he didn't say anything derogatory, but he inferred it. He's talking about like code monkeys, programmers, you know, people like that who do not have to necessarily return to the office 5 days a week. And to me, that was like a little classist and a little sort of like, what's he inferring? He's inferring like some people aren't important enough or something to have to be in the office.
Or maybe he knows people whose jobs are going to go away completely. Maybe.
I don't think so. He was talking specifically about developers and tech people.
Okay. So he's saying they won't have to return to the office.
That's what he said in February.
I'm sure they appreciate that, even though it was framed in a classist way.
I think so. I mean, I guess I haven't really fully broken it down in my mind, but it definitely was interesting. Off-putting.
Yeah, and, I don't know. Also, maybe I'm not as sensitive to that as you, Brad.
It's just like those aren't the only type of people who can work remotely effectively.
Gotcha. Well, I'm thinking maybe he's – yeah, no, you're right. Because I was about to say you can code by yourself in Huddle with your coworker pretty effectively if you're just staring at code all day.
Yeah.
Whereas something more along the lines of like a sales team trying to develop a pitch, mm-hmm. it's kind of good to have a table, a desk, some paper, a whiteboard, and, you know, several pots of coffee to hash it out, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, I mean, look. David Solomon came off as super impressive and like a great and strong CEO when I heard him speak. So I don't want to put him through the ringer too much on that. You know, he's punching down. You know, I can't punch down on David Solomon.
You're punching down? CEO Brad. Yeah. So other banks are in the same position, Brad. Like JP Morgan reportedly, they were at 3 days a week and they loosened their mandate down to 2 days a week because of some internal complaints. Mm-hmm. And then let's get to Apple. Apple employees, a lot of them are quitting prior to the May. They have a May 23rd RTO, you know, and there's the resignation of like a big name, Ian Goodfellow, who's previously at Google. Apple poached him and he's the director of their machine learning. Right. And a bunch of employees got together and they made this group called Apple Together, which, you know, as somebody who's for workers' rights and, you know, all the time, like that's not the strongest title, Apple employees. Like, you know, like Apple Strong would be a little bit better. I don't know. But anyway, Apple Together.
How about Apple Core?
Apple. Oh, Brad. It's got to be like a corporate thing that they already use, you know. I don't know. But Apple Together, they wrote a letter and they were just complaining about this so-called rigid return to work approach. If I could here, Brad.
Please.
This is an aside to our 5 day a week workers. People working outside of Silicon Valley, it's 3 days really hard. I mean, come on. Is it like, the Silicon Valley, we don't have enough baristas here. Oh, the ping pong table's been broken for 3 weeks. What are we going to do? You know, that's okay, sometimes
so
that's
wait,
where I go.
You're on the side of corporate.
I'm not. But I have to say, as like a blue collar bloke, you know, who has worked, I've been a garbage man, Brad. I've delivered
literally pizza, a garbage man. Yes.
Literally have done these jobs.
Yes.
Sometimes there's a little piece of me who says, cry me a river. <You know? laughs> Like when I hear the Goldman thing, that because I've worked at Goldman and I know how those junior bankers work. Mm-hmm. Dude, they sleep there sometimes. I have watched junior bankers come in fresh out of college. Now, mind you, they've already shed the college 15. They come in there slim as a board. And within 3 months of working nonstop, right, they have gained at least 20 pounds, if not more. Mm-hmm. And it was the saddest thing to watch. Mm-hmm. And so I get that, right? But again, you know, they're amply compensated for it. And then in 3 years, they're your boss. So like, I can only have so much sympathy. But anybody in that situation where you're going 5 days, I hear that complaint. Yes, I think 2 days is the optimal time in the office. That's my personal opinion.
Yes.
But I'm not really going to complain about three. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It just seems like a slippery slope to me. Because like, let's start with three. And then, you know what? We're going to go to four.
It does feel like there's a bait and switch here, doesn't it? It does feel like five is the...
This is totally happening. And I'm going to save my my soapbox speech for a little bit further down in the conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And okay. So that's where we're at. These are the big companies doing this. Executives don't seem to be budging.
Yeah.
You know, it's... But there is, as we talk, and this is going to be a main through line, there is a troubling double standard here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, non-executive employees are twice as likely as executives to be working from the office 5 days a week.
Right.
Okay. And that's always been the case. This isn't new. They want to go back to, you know, they want people where they want them.
They want people where they want them. They want them there 5 days a week. Let's not beat around the bush. This is what these companies want. And the thing that I have not been able to really get the answer of is, again, why? Like,
right.
why are you so afraid?
Yeah. And, you know, we'll get into mental health at the end when we talk about what people should do and what companies should do.
Yeah.
But according to Future Forum, Brad,
okay.
People's work-related stress and anxiety are at their highest levels since summer of 2020. Now think about that. That was a big change moment. It's a big pivot.
Yeah.
And they are notably twice as high as executive levels, right?
Well,
and then the work-life balance scores of non-executives are 40% worse than their bosses.
Yeah.
Right. So there is a disconnect here between the two.
There really is. Yeah.
And they're not noticing it.
So this is the devil's advocate. This is where I take the other argument. I agree with this. I do think that our stress levels are higher. And I do agree that it's probably over-indexing on people below the C-suite. Mm-hmm. And I guess where I think it's a double-edged sword is that sometimes become too effective at this working remotely thing.
Yes.
Like, the productivity is not the problem. For me and people who work with me, it's the work-life balance that has gotten away from us. And just as an example, you know, I was before the lockdown, I was commuting for 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, an hour there, an hour back, right?
Yep.
Same. Now, that's awful, right?
Yep.
But that was also downtime. I was not working. I was listening to podcasts. I was talking to
people. Kind of downtime.
It's kind of sort of downtime. Not really, but it's not working, right?
For the most part.
I mean, every once in a while I was on a conference call, but like that's gone now. So that 2 hours, and this is not unique to me. This is unique to people who work with me too, that I was spending commuting is now spent working.
Yes, absolutely.
So
there is a
toll that we're paying here for working remotely that we haven't really fully articulated, but I don't think that the solves are going back to where things used to be.
Right. And Brad, that's interesting because there were those lines of demarcation, right? Like work definitively started and it definitively ended. Sure, you would go home when there's a big project and you would do some after hours work, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't as pervasive as it is now.
Right.
There are days when I get up, I roll out of bed, walk right to that chair, work, roll right into the couch, watch an hour of TV, pass out, go to bed. It's terrible. It's terrible for your health. It's terrible for your mental health.
Yes.
And I think the thing there is you just kind of got to train yourself. You know, I slap the laptop shut. So I have that line, you know, I slap it definitively closed. And I'm like, that's it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, and I let the phone battery die out. I mean, so maybe you got to do that. But you know, what's interesting here, another stat that I have down later that I'll bring up now is now, while 79% of workers surveyed indicate flexibility and location being important, 94% cited flexibility in schedule. So that to me says that people don't just want, it's kind of loosely related to what we're saying. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be tied to, you know, I start at 9 a.m. and then I end at 5 p.m. They want to be able to go, I take my kid. And even though what you're saying is true, you do take time in your day to do things that matter. I go to the gym as much as I can in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And at first I was like worried. I'd bring my phone, like, oh, people are gonna be freaking out. And I found that many people are doing the same thing because this is the quietest between 12 and 2. Right? So I enjoy that. I can't do that at work because what happens at work? Well, I'm in a business suit. I then have to go to the gym, do my thing, factor in showering, you know, and redressing, and then going back to the office, carrying a dirty bag of clothes, finding a place to put that. It's a whole mess.
By the way, this would probably be a good time to just ask you to please put some clothes on. Because I don't think it's appropriate that you're podcasting naked.
It's not going to happen, Brad. I have the gym right after this, okay? I'm doing a little nude swimming, okay? Right.
Can you please, like, pan the camera up?
Oh, am I pulling a tubing? Anyway, we went off pretty far on this one.
Yeah.
What else do we have on the list here? I think we should talk about new tech processes and perks. I went anecdotally on what I experienced, and you talked a little about what you experienced. Mm-hmm. I found that companies in our research, companies were really rolling out the red carpet to try and get people back, right? They were doing all the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. Like, for God's sakes, Google at their headquarters, they got an amphitheater near Y. They're having Lizzo perform for their return to work. Yeah. Microsoft had like local bands and beers and like this whole festival thing. Qualcomm is like throwing in these Take a Break Tuesday and Wellness Wednesday.
Yeah,
and
I'm trying to do something like that.
You're trying to do, yeah. So I get it. You're trying to get people back. It's kind of like icebreakers in a meeting. We all think they're corny, but they actually work kind of, sort of. Yeah.
Right? I know what you mean. They are corny and they kind of work. Yeah.
Yeah. So
should we start to try to bring this home?
I think so. We've gone longer. Right. It's so funny. Whenever I write it, do an episode, we're like, oh, this is going to be really tight, really brief. And then I forget about us and our personalities and our stories and asides.
You know what, Dave? I think what it is that we like talking to each other.
We do, Brad. And you know what? We could shut off the camera and like give people a break and just talk to each other.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
What's the fun in that?
I don't know. All right. So let's wrap it up by talking about what companies and what can do and what employees can do. Yes. Some of this will be research-based. Most of it will be our opinions. Okay. And you all have to tell us your opinions as well.
Yeah. Well, what I would say for companies is the adage that we've used on this podcast before is start with why. So if you want people to return to the office, make sure that you have a really clear idea of why, and don't make it vague. Don't use vague terminology like, well, culture. Okay, well, really identify what that means and what a return to office, how that will help you accomplish that. And if there are other ways that you can accomplish the same thing. Because frankly, it costs money to have people in the offices. This is an opportunity not just for employees, but for companies to save money, significant amount of money.
Yeah, right? That's what I don't get.
So I don't quite get it either.
Yeah. The Google's head of workspace has some tips of what not to get wrong.
What not to get wrong, okay.
Yeah, so taking a one-size-fits-all approach would be a problem. You have to like meet people where they are. Obviously, like not everybody's coming back to this in the same way. You have some single people who are lonely as hell, who are dying to get back in the office to be with their peeps. Then you have people like, you know, you and I who are parents and have become accustomed to seeing our children more and, you know, have a commitments now. You know, I'm on a carpool. I can't leave the carpool.
Yeah. Risk of going on a tangent here, I do think that for young people, there are a lot of invisible benefits of being in the workplace, physically in the workplace.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The dating landscape is terrible from what I understand.
Right. Yeah.
You know, young people need to be able to have other avenues to meet other than, you know, online dating apps and stuff like that. So in office is a great way to meet people.
Yeah, Brad, you're not supposed to be dating your colleagues. Isn't that an HR violation? What are you promoting here?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Different departments. You got to be in different departments. Different departments.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Okay. So moving on, not using the right technology, Brad. Okay. So as we talked about with like the Owl Cam and the whiteboard, like you got to get that right. And I think that's going to take a little finagling. It's going to take a little while.
I think it'll take a couple of years to get a true hybrid, you know, workflow.
Oh, I don't know. I think our company's we've done it pretty damn well, pretty quickly. I don't know, but I'll give it a year.
Okay.
How about that? We'll check back in a year.
Absolutely.
And they also say focusing too much on meetings. And what is your opinion about this? I don't have any opinion here. It's
Of course. Of course. It's easier said than done. Especially if you have clients and stuff like that, there's always going to be a lot of meetings. What I've tried to do is roll out something called mostly meeting-free Fridays. And I really wanted it to be meeting-free Fridays.
Yeah. I saw your schedule, Brad.
I shared that with you.
You abide by your own. Yeah.
So what you saw on my schedule was a big block for the whole day that said mostly meeting-free Fridays. You saw that. And then you saw 15 other meetings.
Right.
Also, like, I'm not exaggerating. I think it was literally 15 meetings.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was pretty, pretty bad, Brad. Indeed. Well, here's a big issue with this meeting stuff, right? And this is what the brunt of this paragraph or two here in this article is, proximity bias. And this is going to become a real situation for people. And what that is,
I know what you mean,
right? Is you and I, let's say we work together. You and I are in the office every day and producer Joe's not here. He's always zooming in. Right.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, we're on the same level, producer Joe and I, right? Maybe you're my manager and you see me all the time. We work together. We have a couple drinks after work. Mm-hmm. We laugh, we have fun.
Yeah.
I'm getting promoted. I'm getting promoted. Producer Joe's not getting promoted. And I guess in a situation like you have, where like a lot of your staff is remote, that could become a problem anyway, even without this COVID situation. So it's like, how do you, you got to be mindfully think, you got to think about that and proactively work against it, right?
Well, I think you have to work differently to maintain and build those relationships remotely.
Right.
So you can't just not, and you have to maybe check your own bias, just like all things, to see if you have proximity bias going on.
Well, some of these people for this proximity bias, they're trying to have more meetings. So they're seeing everyone more. And this article says it's kind of wrongheaded and you're just going to burn people out. Like everybody has Zoom burnout as is. Keep your meetings short. Yeah. If it could be an email, make it an email. If it could be a Teams chat, keep it that way.
Disney, I printed up 1,000 ribbons. Sort of a field day type ribbons that you would get in grade school.
Okay.
And it said in Boston Gold, I survived another meeting that should have been an email. And what I would do is whenever we would have one of those meetings that could have been an email, at the end of the meeting, I would give people one of those badges.
Oh, that's so awesome, dude. I want to do that. I want to do that. I love it. Last thing before we get to employees. Let's talk about managers. Managers are stuck between these expectations. Mm. And I think this is the expectations of the employees and the kind of C-suite demands. And it's going to be really interesting to see how you're a manager, Brad. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how folks like you navigate those waters, because you've got the 50% of the C-suites like, hey, we want everybody back 5 days a week. Mm. And then you've got all the employees, like 90 something percent of the employees who want flexibility in schedules, and a lower percentage that want flexibility in location. How do you manage those two? How do you bring those two groups together?
We might need a different take here, because I'm both. I'm in the C-suite and I'm a direct manager of probably too many employees.
So, oh, okay. All right. Well, you could talk to both points, Brad.
Well, I think I'm an advocate for the employees, which is where I believe that the fiduciary responsibility of being in the C-suite lies. You have to represent your employees. You have to represent the business. It's so I'm very much, I like to think of myself anyway, maybe my team would disagree, but I'm very much advocating for them.
That's good.
The C-suite and making sure that, we're making choices that drive better culture and better flexibility and all that stuff. But anyway, that's just me tout my own horn. Cause maybe people who work with me would have a different perspective.
Yeah. I think it's a happy wife, happy life, but happy employees, happy. I don't have a rhyme.
Come on.
Happy employees, more toys. No? Something about making money for the business. Come on, Brad, you help me.
Here's what I would say. Can I get to my soapbox moment here?
Oh boy, here we go. Here he goes. Employees. Everybody, look up.
Employees. Look up there. This is directed to employees, not management, not C-suite.
Okay.
You have the power. Sorry.
You got hopefully the touch.
Dave, if that worked out correctly, at that point you've dropped in Transformers, the movie.
You got the touch.
Into the power.
And if I didn't, Brad, if I found that I can't do that, I think we could sing it.
You got the touch. Doom, doom,
doom. You got the power. Now, everybody under the age of 40 is going, what are these guys rambling about? There was a Transformers movie. And it was epic. Was that the one with the big spaceship size, planet size, Omicron?
Unicron.
Yeah. Omicron. No, Unicron.
Unicron. I'm pretty sure it's Unicron.
Yeah, man. Hey, they knew. They knew that the Kron was going to get us.
Yeah, right.
Eventually, look at that.
That's so funny.
So yeah, you got the power. Tell us about it, Brad.
You have the power. Companies are going to try to make you forget that. They're going to try to fool you and use fear tactics to get you back to something that you might not want. Something that you might not be comfortable with. And this is relating to your work-life balance, relating to your mental health, all those things, right? Do not let them bully you. Do not let them bully you to going back to what used to be. This might be the only opportunity in our actual lifetime to change the concept of work, for the better. Let's not let this slip us by. We will have failed as a society if 2 years from now, we'll say, hey, remember when we were working remotely?
Oh my God, Brad.
If that happens, then we've lost, man.
Oh, Brad.
Don't lose this fight.
Yeah, I think that, look, the demand for flexible work is only going to go up. If you look at the stats, if you look at the polls, all employees want this. And I got to tip my hat. Yeah. I'm a Gen Xer and everybody hates on millennials. And to a lesser extent, Gen Z, But I got to tip my hat to the millennials.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for them,
yeah,
I think we'd all be back in the office right now. If this happened to our Gen X, we yeah. used to like to complain about things. You know, we'd wear our flannel yeah. and our moppy hair and be like, no, everything sucks. Right. And, but then we'd go to work. Right? Whereas exactly, millennials, right. millennials work just as hard, but they don't put up with this shit.
They're you living know? At home. They don't need to like, and they don't have cars sometimes.
Yeah. So like, I want to tip their hats and I yeah. want to say this is the I right agree. Moment for this to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to roll over. I don't think they even need us to yeah. tell them that, Brad. I think they right. know that.
Well, I hope they know that and they don't forget it because absolutely. And I'm talking to them. You're right, Dave. Like yeah. people our age.
Yeah.
I'm early 40s.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about people like me. I'm talking about people who are, you know, just coming up in their careers. Some specific advice
yeah.
when you're interviewing for these positions, make sure that you mandate in yes. your negotiations that you have that flexibility built into. And I yeah. don't mean a vague promise.
Right.
Vague promises are
get it on paper. Yeah.
Get it on paper.
Brad, I'm going to push back on this a little.
Okay,
I'm going to say you shouldn't be talking to the people entering the workforce. You should be talking to you and me.
Yeah.
Like I said, millennials know this. They got ping pong tables in those Silicon Valley offices. Mm-hmm. They got slides and baristas and
yeah.
work from home before COVID. They don't need this talk, right? Right. And Gen Z, I mean, shit, if they can't do work from TikTok, I can imagine they're not coming in. Yeah. You got to talk to the Gen Xers because we are the ones that will fucking roll over. I'm telling you, mm-hmm. you got to tell people like you and me to demand when you are having that interview process,
yeah.
say, hey, what is your work from home? Or even before that, mm-hmm. a lot of people advertise it now. They'll say yeah. hybrid or exclusively say, this is not a work from home position. And then you just don't apply. I don't yeah. care what else is there. Don't apply. Because if the right. HR person putting that ad in sees no one and the manager's like, hey, where are my applicants? Oh, we don't have any. They'll get the hint that they need to make it hybrid.
That's great counsel. Strongly
yeah.
agree with all that.
One of the articles I read, I can't find it now, was about how, like what we've gained through all this and what mm-hmm. we're afraid we're going to lose mm-hmm. and how that affects our mental health, right?
Yeah.
And people are changing their opinions. Like it got to the point where it was like, oh, we may not have a 5-year plan. You know what I mean? Like we may have to live in the day. And it's, you know, to bring in like the Ukraine war, you know, I follow a lot of people who are doing war journals mm-hmm. and that's kind of their POV, mm-hmm. you know, their whole modus operandi is like, I don't know if I have tomorrow. So I'm going to make this the most important day of my life, mm-hmm. you know, and you talk to people who have life-threatening diseases and it's similar. Yeah. And it's so easy talking about not rolling over to fall back into the life the way it was. But, oh, yeah. you know, don't, you know, keep
getting out of stasis takes
yeah.
work and effort
yeah.
and it's worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I could go on and on about this, Brad, but I mean, you're a big advocate for mental health. You know, I am as well. And it's like, take the things you love about this COVID work from home situation.
Yeah.
And all the good things, keep them.
Yeah.
Tell them you need them. So if they want me back in the office, I need 2 hours in the middle of the day to hit the gym. Mm-hmm. I'll stay later. Mm-hmm. I'll stay till 7 o'clock, but I need those hours, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
whatever it is, you know, you need that time. I need to take your kids in the morning. So you need to come in at 9 o'clock instead of 7:30, 8 a.m. Take it, tell them and C-suite, listen to these people because happy employees, happy rhyme here.
I mean, keeping and retaining quality employees is one of the most important things about my job. And
yeah,
I mean, you got to work hard to keep people happy who are good.
And churn is expensive.
It's so much harder. Churn is expensive and maddening yeah. and time consuming. It's way more expensive than people realize.
All right, Brad. Well, you know, I think we did it. I think we solved return to work.
Yeah.
Return to office. What do you think?
I'll see you in your office on Monday.
Through Friday, right? Right, Brad?
That's right. I'll
okay.
be there every
yes, sir.
Day. Every day.
Yes, sir.
8 to 7.
Right. And I will bring you your coffee, Brad.
Thank you. And that is our episode. Thank you all for listening to the Sucks Podcast. We are wishing you all health, a well-designed life, and good experiences.